for good or for evil. You may be blessed with a certain talent, and so your attitude can lead you to being conceited about it, or you can use that talent for good, to train others, or to, you know, whatever. So it really, all of our blessings, our attitude should be thankfulness and gratefulness and the realization that it's not me.
Right.
That if God hadn't given me good help or good opportunities or whatever, then I wouldn't be in the situation that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, in working with people who maybe don't have very much, we had this situation, especially in New Jersey, and I'm sure Stephen Patton, all of y'all have known people in the work of the Lord. They don't think they're as well off, that God doesn't love them enough, or they haven't worked enough, or they're not worthy enough, or something, because they don't have maybe the things that sometimes money can buy. And you have to try to get them to learn that it's not the things that you have, but the things that you have, what you do with them, like she was talking about,
mm-hmm.
and sharing others. We had some really have-nots in New Jersey, and just to get them to feel comfortable about hospitality, because they didn't have as good a couch as I had, or they didn't have as, you know, the same food. You don't have to provide a huge meal, you know. Water's okay, just have people in, and let's study God's word, or let's visit, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's the important thing. It's attitude towards sharing whatever God's given you, and not being ashamed of it. It's hard to get people, even our children, you know. My children had very rich friends in Randolph, New Jersey, at school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't wear the same things. Not that we couldn't afford it, we didn't think it was the important thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to learn that they were not any less, you know, part
mm-hmm.
because they couldn't do some of the things that some of their friends. And that spiritual way, too. I mean, our children had to learn they couldn't go places and do things that some of their friends
yeah.
were doing.
We had some comments along with everything y'all have been saying. Number 11, I wanted to look at the duties of the, we have a duty, and it's just what y'all have been saying. It's a duty to do what Melissa said to do, to teach our children and to teach others. What we do with these things that God has blessed us with. We need to be rich in good works. We need to be ready to give, willing to share. We need to be generous with what God has given us, whether it's this much or this much or this much. Let's look at Matthew 6. We all know very well, but let's look at Matthew 6. This is talking about our priorities. Sally, would you read Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21?
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust have corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I love verse 21 every time we study this in a sermon. Our treasure is going to be, I like the opposite way of saying it too, our treasure is going to be where our heart is. If our heart is not on what this is talking about, then our treasure's got to be in heaven. And that's what we've got to keep in mind.
Uh, see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your eyes bad, your whole body bad, you know.
Yeah.
So you get caught up in that kind of stuff. If you're not careful to check yourself and be honest about where you are and all that.
Right. Look at another one that's very familiar to us. Look at Luke 12. I. Not gonna, for sake of time, we're not going to read this whole thing. But this, Jesus is teaching on us being aware of covetousness. Our life does not consist of our possessions. This fits just right in with how much we've been blessed and what we can do with our blessings. Everything we've been talking about, how we can help someone else, what we can teach our children. Verse 17 is I twice and then my crops. Verse 18 is I three times, my barns, my goods. Verse 19, I will say, my soul. And then we see at the very bottom, this man was not rich towards God. And this is Jesus' whole point. He who, verse 21, he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is where we started out. If a man is well off and he's laying up treasure just for himself, doesn't do any of the things that we've been talking about this whole time, he's got to be rich towards God that we just read about. Any comments on anything else on what we should do with our treasures that God gives us?
Be thankful. Thankful. We need to thank God for our blessings and pray that we use them in a way that would be pleasing to His glory and not to ours.
The first thing that we talked about that goes along with thankfulness is not to be haughty, not to think, well, you know, look what I've got. Okay, and number 12. Carol, would you read? Let's go back to 1 Timothy. Would you read verse 20 and 21?
Oh, Timothy, guard what you have been entrusted, what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter. And the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have confessed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be
with you. Okay. I've said before, I'm so amazed at how often Paul talks about this in this one book. He always comes back and talks about it. And look at chapter 1. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. This is Paul talking. He starts the book out talking about what was committed to his trust. And verse 20, he talks about what was committed to Timothy's trust. So Paul comes back to profane and idle babblings and contradictions. We've talked about how this doesn't help any church one bit. We've talked about this a lot. And also, what does Paul say is falsely called knowledge? This is a summation. Verse 20 and 21 is a summation of the whole book, everything we've studied. So what did y'all have for number 12?
Worldly and empty chatter.
Mm-hmm. Paul comes back to this time and time again.
I think here the knowledge, another thing he's talking about, some versions translate that science. Remember, they were dealing with Gnosticism.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, we've got a secret knowledge.
Yes.
And so, and these babblings and all that, that I think, what I read, it's, that's what these empty chatter and all this mess is about, is what they think they know without the Word of God. There were people that were going around saying, I have the secret knowledge, you can't know it, someone give it to me. What do you give it to everybody? And that gave them a lot of pride.
Mm-hmm.
But whether, and even if we do have knowledge, and it is of God's Word, it's not anything to be prideful about.
Mm-hmm.
Be thankful and blessed that someone taught you.
Yeah.
You didn't, you know, we don't learn it all on our own. I mean, you can learn the truth on your own, but it's of God instituted a church, the teachings, and elders, and things like that to help us grow apart. But these things that were entrusted to Paul were very precious to him, and now he's passed this down to Timothy. And God's the one who chose Timothy, I think, but anyway, saw Timothy's potential. But this knowledge that people think sometimes they have, and we have people that way today, not the secret knowledge, but they think through all their study, they've learned something there's a movement afoot now that there's things that it's, I just studied it. I'm the only one person that's seen this. That scares me.
Yeah.
After all these centuries, nobody else has seen it. It's you. It throws up red flags. But anyway.
Okay.
And you know, when we've had conversations with our own grandchildren and everything, since we do Bible studies, in fact, three are scheduled for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at the house. But sometimes they get caught up, especially with their friends and everything, and they're talking, well, what about this and what about that? And they get down rabbit holes that, you know, you could dig all the way to China and you're not going to find the answer, instead of going back to Scripture and saying, this is what Scripture says. So they get thrown off by all these arguments and all these think-sos, and, you know, from a lot of their friends who are agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we warn them, don't get caught up in all of these tangents.
You know,
when you're talking about salvation, or when you're talking about living for Jesus and making wise choices, you know, just use the Scripture. You know, don't read it. Instead of trying to argue from the man point of view,
mm-hmm.
and kind of out argue or out maneuver.
It doesn't have to be people of the world.
No, it doesn't.
People that sit on the pew with your children sometimes, and especially when you send them off to college and all this, but even adults we've known, they get carried away by some preacher that has some. Well, back in the 50s and early 60s in the division of the church,
mm-hmm.
as with the preacher, so with the church. So many times, it wasn't about what God said. Well, I trust Brother so-and-so, and if he believes it, it's got to be right. No, it doesn't. You don't. You search for yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, Stephen's a preacher, and he's taught our children, question me. If you don't agree with me, that's okay. Let's mm-hmm. sit down and discuss it. If you have Bible verses, let's talk about it. Because we all can be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but it's not just the world we need to be afraid of and teach our children.
That's right.
To be concerned about.
And this fits right in with the sermons that Steve's been preaching for the benefit of the kids that are going off to college about
evolution.
Sorry. About evolution.
I knew this time.
Yeah, a very, very smart man yesterday on television in the news was talking about what his hopes to do in the future is. And he talked about the earth being something like 10 billion years old and the sun is going to burn up and we need to be ready for that and to colonize someplace else. And so, you know, it's out there big time.
Oh, yeah.
We're very smart, smart people. Except they're not smart in Scripture.
Let's see if we covered everything. Well, I just had number 13. What has it caused in some lives? And we've looked at this over and over again in Timothy. It's caused, just like what Pat was saying, sometimes it's not just the world, sometimes it's Christians. And people have strayed concerning the faith. And Paul ends this letter just as he began, with an emphasis on God's grace. So, I think that's everything I've got. Did I see a hand raised? No? Okay. Anything else on this?
The only thing I would add is this: in 2 Timothy, he's still writing to Timothy about this. Chapter 2, verse 16 to 19.
Mm-hmm.
He's still talking to him about all these people. Keep yourself. Be diligent. Present yourself before you come. And avoid all the empty chairs.
Yes.
I mean, on the first day, when you went through 2 Timothy 2:20, we talked about it now. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, escape from the snare of the devil. All of that is the snare of the devil, just to get the Lord's people, the Lord's bond servant, as Timothy was, and Paul, to preach error, to take on error and quit teaching the pure gospel. And that's what the devil's up to today.
Yeah. And verse 17 is, we studied this early on about Hymenaeus and Philetus and how this has happened to them. And look at verse 22. It's the same exact thing. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We've talked about our hearts have to be pure. We have to have it right. Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming, and so many good comments. I appreciate it very much. And I enjoyed studying Timothy.
Thank you for studying.